tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 30th of April, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. It's Thursday, which means it's Geopolitical Analysis Day, and who better to get our geopolitical analysis from than Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from RussJournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, I didn't get much sleep last night because I went down this Ukraine pedophilia connection with Mossad and Epstein. That rabbit hole is dangerous to your mental health. It's so nasty. The tentacles that this man had, it never seems to end. So, but I'm solid. I'm ready to go. It's just you know, when you're a father. It gets tougher to read.
Well, it's hard to believe a lot of it. I think a lot of it is just so shocking that people will just instantly dismiss it out of hand, which is what people were doing. But it seems there is a lot of evidence for this as well, especially with these Epstein files. And today we're not just going to be looking at the Epstein files. We're going to be looking at Ukraine specifically and the alleged missing children. And we're going to be using globalresearch.ca for our source material. The European Union, Canada, and the American colony of Kiev plan to co-host a high-level meeting of the so-called International Coalition for the Return of Ukrainian Children on May the 11th in Brussels. As the name implies, the purported goal of the gathering is to trace, return, and reintegrate Ukrainian children taken by Russia. The meeting will be attended by the European Union's High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy and European Commission Vice President Kaja Kallas, EU Enlargement Commissioner Marta Kos, the Kiev regime's Foreign Minister Andrei Sybiha, and Canadian Foreign Minister Anita Anand. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen stated, "Russia's war of aggression against Ukraine has cost more than land and lives. It has stolen childhoods. Over 20,000 Ukrainian children have been forcibly taken from their families, their homes. On 11th of May, together with Ukraine and Canada, we will bring the world together to demand justice. We will work together to trace every single child, to return them to their homes, and ensure those responsible face consequences. These children are Ukraine's future. And we will not rest until every single child is returned." The upcoming meeting will also review recommendations prepared by civil society and experts during the Civil Society Expert Day, set to take place in Kiev on April 30th. That's today. Kiev claims that over 20,000 Ukrainian children have been allegedly kidnapped by Russia, insisting that Moscow systematically sought to conceal the children's identities and whereabouts. The so-called International Coalition for the Return of Ukrainian Children was launched by the Kiev regime in February 2024. It is co-chaired by Canada, while the European Union became a full member in September 2025. The initiative formally includes 47 countries and various NGOs allegedly engaged in coordinating diplomatic, humanitarian, legal and informational efforts on the issue. Perhaps such laughable propaganda narratives could have been sustained before the United States Department of Justice released approximately 3.5 million Epstein files. However, now that these are out, the promotion of the so-called Western values, namely pedophilia, cannibalism, and Satanism, has become quite a challenge. Even some of the most ardent supporters of the EU and NATO have been disgusted by the revelations, although most are still burying their heads in the sand, waiting for all of it to just go away. Listeners will probably be aware that we talked about this at the time, I think, when it happened, just as the special operation in Ukraine began. Russia removed a large number of children to safety, effectively, to get them away from the war zone, which is something that happened in Britain during the Second World War. They evacuated all the children to the countryside to make sure that they were safe. And it appears that this is what happened here. Russia removed the children from the war zone so that they would not be harmed in the war zone. And it seems this has been used as propaganda against Russia, as if they somehow wanted to kidnap these children. And of course, then you have to contrast this with what we now know from the Epstein files about how children were being trafficked. So the concern is that if these children are handed back to Ukraine, they could end up being trafficked. And of course, some people might say, well, don't be so silly, that's not likely to happen. But we know that this was going on with Epstein, and we know that this was going on right at the top levels of society were facilitating this. So perhaps it's not such a pie in the sky idea that that could very well be happening to these children if they hand them back. Matt, what are your thoughts on this? I know you know a lot more about it than I do.
Well, you just have to take a deep breath. You know, this is one of the worst cases of institutional projection that I've ever come across. And it's not the first time that an ally of the West, you know, the same thing happened in Kosovo, has been engaged in this kind of thing, and the West looks the other way. In fact, they're the ones who are doing it. They have never given any evidence. They've never given a motive. These are Russian-speaking kids from Russian-speaking areas. That these aren't Ukrainians in any ethnic sense. They were at one point part of Ukraine legally, but these are in the Russian-speaking areas. They have no motive whatsoever to do anything. They're very popular amongst these. The Russian government is very popular amongst these people. Why would they do this, except just to get them out of there? And we know that various Ukrainian militias were setting up in cities, which is something that the Russian military hated, because then they really couldn't engage them. And if they took a city, they made sure they were essentially human shields in many ways. And so this ridiculous organization is just cover for what's actually going on. You know, I haven't been too fanatical about the Epstein files like a lot of people have. There's too many. You know, there's so many of them. You know, you could pretty much say anything about them. I know that one thing that comes up quite a bit in Epstein's thought process was that Putin has to be overthrown, that he was a problem for them. This is Drago Bosnich, one of my favorite writers these days, pedophilia, cannibalism, and Satanism. Well, that's the official Russian position on the West, because Sergei Lavrov has come right out and used those terms. Putin would never use those terms because he's a diplomat. But, you know, he's diplomatic. But others in the Russian government will say it. High-level people will say it. And saying things that, you know, Lavrov just came right out and said this is satanic. There's a rampant Satanism in the European Union, not necessarily on this issue, but on many others. The foreign ministry of Russia says things that Putin wouldn't say directly, but clearly he approved it. So, you know, and I was just down this rabbit hole all night about Epstein and the connection with Ukraine. You know, war zones are great for guys like him and their friends and their allies, because it's really hard to keep track of people. So this whole scam is just a way to cover over their own crimes. They've given no evidence. And since they're Russians, we'll read more about it here in a little bit, but since they're Russians, there's absolutely no motive to do anything to hurt them.
So you think with the parents' permission, these children were removed out of that area, and then Ukraine is using the fact that these children have been removed out of that area and previously they were considered Ukrainian citizens to say, well, these are our children. Why have you taken them? Because they have, I mean, they have produced some parents, not very many, a tiny percentage of parents that lay claim to these children. I mean, that sort of implies that the parents of all the rest of these children are quite happy about it and are in fact actually Russian. Is that what you're saying there, Matt?
Well, there are even cases where you have children of soldiers fighting for Kiev against Russia that have been reunited with their families. You know, they're being very, very meticulous about this. The Russians are not doing anything wrong in this case, especially given the Russian way of war, the reliance on artillery, concentrated, you know, fire pockets, as they call it. Civilians, you know, would be vaporized, and they really don't want that. And the war has taken place overwhelmingly in Russian speaking areas. And the media doesn't seem to know this. And I can't, you know, my book on the topic mentions this maybe 100 times, that these are pro-Russian people. They speak Russian at home. These are Russian. This is Eastern Ukraine. So there's simply no motive. Now, I have an expanded version of this in my expanded paper, where I go into far greater detail about what's going on, what the organizations are in Ukraine that are actually doing this. And then as cover, they have stupid things like whatever it's called, the whatever it was. I mean, this is, by the way, the first time I've ever heard of something called Civil Society Expert Day. Never come across that in my entire life. But apparently they're using that. The Moscow systematically, you know, they're not even saying that they're hurting them, that they sought to conceal the children's identities and whereabouts, that you're creating their own Janissary Corps. But, you know, if they're living in that monstrous failure that Ukraine was, so even if this were true, they're better off. Ukraine is, you know, knocking on the door of the fourth world, and that was before the war. They have money for nothing, including education. But Russia has been pretty meticulous in connecting this. And there's been so much desertion from the Ukrainian Ukrainian military. You know, they've made getting a Russian passport, you know, he streamlined the process. You know, no one wants to fight for Kiev at this point. So they're really hitting this hard. And, you know, Bosnich, you know, he's making a general point that they can't be talking about this kind of thing when you're talking about actual trafficking coming out of those allied with the thankfully dead Epstein.
Well, getting back to the article here. However, the genie is out of the bottle and there is simply no way to put the rose-tinted glasses back on without directly participating in the political West's monstrous crimes against children. Obviously, it is no secret that the world's most aggressive racketeering cartel is involved in some of the most heinous crimes in human history, whether it is centuries of brutal colonialism, slave trade and general aggression against the entire world, or the promotion of the so-called Western values that make anyone sane sick to their stomach. However, the Epstein files unequivocally confirmed that the repulsive criminal oligarchy running the United States, United Kingdom, European Union and NATO is actually far worse than you could possibly imagine. All the supposed crazy conspiracy theories we've been hearing about over the last several decades are not only true but are just the tip of the iceberg. The potential for monstrous evil that these pedophile cannibalistic Satanists have demonstrated makes anyone remotely sane recoil in disgust. It will take years, if not decades, to review all the released Epstein files. But what we do know is more than enough to see the bigger picture. Namely, things that were previously designated as insane conspiracy theories, present only on the fringes of the internet, are now widely available for everyone to see and question their own willful blindness to the horrifying crimes committed against those who need protection the most. Children. The files suggest that millions of them have been trafficked by a massive globalist pedophile network employed by Western elites, including the most prominent royalty. The role of the US, EU, NATO's numerous vassals and satellite states in this monstrous process is also critically important. This is true for both the NATO-occupied Serbian province of Kosovo and Metohija, now formally under the control of Albanian narco-terrorists, and the Kiev state, which is trafficking Ukrainian children for the deranged Western elites. Around 2 years ago, President Vladimir Putin said that for centuries, Western elites have been used to stuffing their bellies with human flesh and their pockets with money. The ball of vampires is coming to an end. Many thought that this was merely a metaphor for the political West's propensity to destroy countless countries, killing millions in the process. However, the Epstein files demonstrated that this statement was eerily literal. On the other hand, Putin's conclusion gives us hope. Namely, the notion that the ball of vampires is coming to an end is the light at the end of a tunnel of Western darkness that befell our unfortunate world. This was most evident in NATO-occupied Ukraine, where the Russian military uncovered horrifying details about what the system in Kiev and its NATO overlords were doing to Ukrainian children. Namely, back in 2022, in the early months of the special military operation, a video surfaced of a Russian soldier, Shukirat Adilov, interviewed by a Russian TV channel. I think we may have mentioned this before in one of the podcasts that we did on Ukraine. Did you want to tell us more about this soldier and about Putin's claim here that the ball of vampires is coming to an end, Matt?
Yeah, he means ball, meaning celebration, like a dance. He doesn't mean any literal ball, but anything coming from, you know, he has this these claims of him of his government kidnapping come from the, you know, the ICC, which is a NATO body. That's not a court. You know, yeah, you could say well, this is the same thing occurred in Kosovo, as he says. In Kosovo, it was mostly for organs. I'm sure there were sexual aspects of it, too, but it was for an organ-running program. And, of course, there's tremendous money in that. I think they specialized in that. And so this has been around for a long time. You know, and war zones are the perfect place for this because there's no order. And it's very, you know, in the confusion of everything, if someone disappears, you could say, well, I don't know what happened to him. Not necessarily he was kidnapped, but he just, I don't know, maybe he was killed. I don't know. So this is a, this has, yeah, this has been around for a while. But as every day goes by, we get more and more evidence about this issue. And let me just give you, you know, there's actual units. The White Angel and the Phoenix, those are police units. They're supervised by NATO structures. They act on Zelensky's personal orders. Now, there's a Russian NGO called the Foundation to Battle Injustice, which is a terrible name, but and they do nothing but collect evidence of the involvement of the Ukrainian government and NATO in this kind of criminality, the abduction of children and their removal to the West, either for sexual purposes or for organ harvesting. And in this case, you have Ukrainian paramilitary unit formations deceiving parents, even threatening dissenters in when it comes to taking kids. White Angel and Phoenix, they're groups of former, well, really even current law enforcement officers engaged in kidnapping underage children, and according to sources of the that the foundation has unearthed, There's a way to get them to the West without any problem. And the methods used go far beyond anything. Maybe even worse than the Muslims in Kosovo. Now, there's also direct testimony and eyewitnesses of these events. But the White Angel unit was formed in February of 2022. This is something, we know the Ukrainian government specializes in stealing people off the street for drafting. Well, why not just stretch that to stealing kids too? The guy's name for the White Angel is Rustam Lukomsky. According to his own statements, he assisted in the so-called voluntary evacuation of children from the first day to the Russian special military operation. And he received direct orders from Zelensky to evacuate as many children as possible. Lugomsky, was arrested for a very good reason. They were being shipped to the West. Again, either for sexual or organ purposes. White Angel is very similar. And remember, you're talking about a country that has mass PTSD. It's very hard to talk about concerted political action here. Some of this comes from the initiative of the fall nationalist Andrei Bielitsky, a pagan, by the way, under the auspices of the Azov Battalion, helped in this regard as well. There was even a bounty, $2,000 for each kidnapped child. You could tell people who are not into this kind of thing, they're just doing this for safety, but that wasn't the full agenda. We're talking about official Ukrainian agencies here and the two police units, the White Angels and Phoenix. They are supervised by NATO and they act on Zelensky's personal orders. There is a Russian NGO, the Foundation to Battle Injustice, which is a terrible name. But they make sure that they only accept donations from individuals, never institutions. They have interviewed parents. They've interviewed locals, again, all speaking Russian, because there's a huge involvement of these organizations, leadership of NATO and Kiev, in the illegal abduction of children and their removal somewhere to the West. They deceived parents, they threatened dissenters, and in many cases engaged in extrajudicial executions. But that's nothing new for the Ukrainian government. Ultimately, these are groups of former law enforcement officers engaged in kidnapping underage children. And there's so many sources now. That connection to Epstein is a separate matter. There is certainly a connection of Ukraine to Epstein, of Epstein to Mossad. I mean, it's not very difficult to put the pieces together. But there's too many testimonies. There's too many facts that this group has gathered here that Zelensky has ordered this personally. And when the Russians arrested Rustam Lukomsky, he admitted that he was part of the voluntary evacuation of children from the very first days of the Russian invasion. And he was given the order to evacuate as many children as possible. And these were sent to the West and they were never not heard from again. In the Russian case, yes, of course, it was done. They were reunited with their families, if at all possible. There's the White Angel and Phoenix are the two organizations that are a part of this. They use even the pseudo-nationalist groups under Andrei Belitsky, who was a pagan by religion. Many women, by the way, are also involved in this. They're unable to participate in combat operations for health reasons or for something like that. And they're given a number, you know, willing volunteers, they offer $2,000 for each kidnapped child. And the number of white angels, I think, probably at the start of the war was about 6,000. So this is something that needs to be taken very seriously. And we don't have this in the stuff that we're talking about here, but I have a much expanded paper that I'm working on here. And it's just, that's why, you know, this is going to be many sleepless nights because, you know, it's so brutal. The money, especially from organ harvesting, is so great. And it's typical MO. I mean, you had the same thing in Kosovo. And, you know, the war zones, any war zone is a perfect place for it because the chaos, you can't really tell who's doing what. Phoenix was under General Alexei Migrin. I don't know how he could be a general and only born in 1975. But, you know, they're deceiving parents. This isn't about, you know, they're taking kids and lying to their parents about it. Remember, these are all Russian speakers, or overwhelmingly Russian speakers. This is why it was so important. One of the reasons it was so important for Russia to take these regions and make them a part of Russia, which is, you know, the two breakaway republics from eastern Ukraine are now a part of Russia today. And so these are official bodies. They're not organized crime, although I'm sure they work with organized crime. And so this soldier here uncovering something that's he just found the tip of the iceberg.
Well, I think we mentioned him before when we were talking about organ trafficking. That was the podcast where we were talking about this. So effectively, we've got both countries, got Russia and Ukraine, each accusing the other of kidnapping these children for nefarious purposes, whereas each country is actually saying, well, we're taking these children away from the war zone and protecting them. But as we'll find out here, the problem is Ukraine is not able to actually say where these parents are of these children. So it seems like Ukraine is just trying to get these children for some reason or other, these Russian children. Well, Adilov was barely able to put into words the monstrous treatment of toddlers and preschool kids that he saw. Children aged 2 to 7 from areas around Izium were brutally massacred and then had their organs removed for trafficking. There was also a testimony by Vera Vaiman, an Aussie observer, who gave a similar account. US Army Colonel Douglas McGregor effectively confirmed both Adilov's and Vaiman's findings. The Epstein files are yet another confirmation of these horrendous crimes by the political West. However, even more disturbingly, as previously mentioned, this is only the tip of the iceberg of things we are yet to uncover. It should also be noted that InfoBricks was among the first major media outlets to report on the massive scale of Western-backed child trafficking from NATO-occupied Ukraine. Tens of thousands of Ukrainian kids end up in Europe and North America, where they are subjected to unimaginable horrors, all for the enjoyment of Kiev's NATO overlords. At least 20,000 of them were evacuated by Russia on the orders of bloodthirsty tyrant Putin and his Commissioner for Children's Rights, Maria Vovobolova. The Kremlin moved the children to safety in Russia, where they were eventually reunited with their families, including fathers who were enemy combatants and fought the Russian military. And yet, the mainstream propaganda machine still tried to present it as a mass kidnapping. However, this wasn't enough. So the ICC, a NATO-controlled NGO impersonating an international court, indicted both Putin and Lvova-Belova for the same kidnapping. Obviously, the pedophile Western elites that control these international justice institutions were fuming that so many kids escaped, so they resorted to desperate measures to get them. Of all the false propaganda narratives that the ICC could have pinned on President Putin, they chose precisely the so-called kidnapped Ukrainian children. However, when Russia demanded evidence that all kids would be returned to their parents and legal guardians, the Kiev regime could provide guarantees for only 339, meaning that the other 20,000 could end up in various Epstein-style islands. So there we have it. There's the evidence there that which side is telling the truth here. It seems that Ukraine could only provide evidence for 300 of these children, that they would be going back to their parents. So what about the rest of these children? What do they want these children for when what Russia is saying is that they've already been reunited with their Russian parents in Russia? Matt, what do you make of this?
Yeah, that was the whole point. It's not that difficult. But when you have, you know, from the Russian side, you have someone from the Organization of Security and Cooperation in Europe, you know, essentially EU approved, accepting the Russian side. That's a big deal. And of course, Douglas MacGregor, who I know has many sources of information, and of course the files themselves. Now, I haven't found a whole lot. I mean, I'm not reading these every day because there's so many of them. I have the feeling that Ukraine is going to come up quite a bit. I know that Zelensky comes up a few times as someone who can be helpful, that the war there is an opportunity. He even said that the Maidan was an opportunity. But there's no motive. Putin has no motive to hurt anybody. These are Russian kids. He's extremely popular in eastern Ukraine. He knows the world is watching everything he's doing. But that's the foundation of the so-called indictment against him and Maria Lvova-Belova, which is, by the way, one of my favorite names of any bureaucrat in eastern Europe.
Another strange term that they use is Zelensky's organization is called Brinkidsbek. And it's just, why not something to do with children? It's an official name. Why do they call it Bring Kids Back? I mean, you must have like heard him mention this. It just sort of got me the way that it was being portrayed as if Putin had kidnapped these children. Well, Ukraine is consistently ranked among Europe's most corrupt countries, a context that matters. It is also a major source and transit hub for human trafficking. An IOM commissioned report estimates over 120,000 Ukrainians have been trafficked since 1991, making Ukraine one of the largest sources of trafficked labour in Europe, with earlier figures pointing to hundreds of thousands of women trafficked abroad for sexual exploitation. US State Department reports repeatedly cite allegations of official complicity, including orphanage staff accused of involvement or negligence, 2015 to 2016, and police and judicial officials covering up brothels for bribes, 2020 to 2021. More recent assessments note investigations but few convictions, indicating persistent impunity. Add to this Ukraine's role as a CIA hub, documented even by the New York Times. One may recall that US intelligence agencies, in their clandestine endeavors, have historically intersected with organized crime in various theaters, including human trafficking. We now know that Jeffrey Epstein himself was CIA connected. In such an ecosystem, it is no wonder Ukraine would attract Epstein's interests, whether in illicit modeling pipelines, trafficking networks, or even illegal human cloning. The political connections should not be missing from this picture. The files reveal Davos networking and private dealings with Ukrainian elite figures. In an email dated June 10th, 2019, a redacted sender casually states, "I will be with Zelensky this Thursday." In the same period, Epstein discussed Ukraine with former US Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, remarking that Zelensky is seeking help, file FTA00517525. Former Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko is also mentioned in the wider correspondence. These are not trivial name drops. They situate Epstein within elite political circles at a decisive moment in Ukraine's post-Maidan trajectory. And I think I do have to point out here that Epstein did also have connections with Russia. And Peter Rushton from Heritage and Destiny has done some research into that. So it wasn't just Ukraine. Epstein had his fingers in the pies everywhere. There was corruption everywhere. It wasn't just Ukraine and the West. It was also in Russia. I mean, I don't know if you know much about that, Matt. I think that this was before the problems in Ukraine. Epstein had these links to Russia. But as we see here, he quite clearly had links to the modern leadership of Ukraine, the post-Maidan leadership. Both Zelensky and Petro Poroshenko are both mentioned here. What do you make of this, Matt?
Yeah, you know, because prior to his conviction, he had connections with everybody, anyone who mattered. You know, he was a billionaire, with political aspirations. Now, of course, in Russia, he'd be an oligarch. I'm sure there's some connection there. But after his conviction, I believe that was in 2008. That was the end of that. But it didn't matter. The reason why people are resigning from the Davos organization, because it was post-2008. These seem like minor little things. I'll be with Zelensky this Thursday. It goes to show that Epstein was connected with this government, personally, actually. And no surprise that Larry Summers was a part of this. He is his career. And I guarantee you nothing could ever happen to him. Poroshenko, again, another post-Maidan figure. It shouldn't shock anybody.
All these connections. All these connections. I mean, they're after his original conviction, aren't they? If Epstein's conviction was in 2008, and Peter Mandelson has had to resign, and also Prince Andrew had his title taken away from him, all for continuing to have contact with Epstein after 2008. And here you have, in 2019, connection with Petro Poroshenko and connection with Zelensky. So why isn't Zelensky being hounded in the media in the same way that Mandelson and Prince Andrew are? Just something that I think should be brought up there, Matt.
I completely agree with you. My book, essentially the thesis of my book on the topic, is that there's no money in Ukraine. There's no money, and even the land has been bought up already by Western powers. What do they have left? They only have bodies. And this is why this is what they use, whether it be on the battlefield or elsewhere. This is what they use to repay their debt. You know, the title of my book is Borhi Splachin y Krovyu, Debts Paid in Blood, Bodies of Ukrainian people. That's all they have left to pay their debt. And this is why, child trafficking has been a problem here. You have the UN. Oh, by the way, you mentioned IOM. That's the International Organization for Migration. That's a United Nations body. You have these fully mainstream organizations, OSCE, IOM, talking about Ukraine being a central place for this kind of criminality. 120,000 since 1990. And no one really jailed for this stuff. About important was to mention that Epstein knew Zelensky. He knew Poroshenko. He was working with them. So this isn't, you know, and of course, you know, as you said, they're not going to be hounded at all. Nothing's going to happen. Ukraine was really the perfect place for that. You have a lot of people that are, in many cases, the families don't exist or they've been separated somehow. It's really the perfect place for them. But now you have the IOM talking about Ukraine as a central area for this kind of thing. There's no denying it anymore. And we're not talking about, plain old migration. No, we're talking about trafficking.
Well, as you were saying, they've got to find some way of paying back these debts, and all they've got is human bodies, so it's either human trafficking or organ trafficking, isn't it? That's all they've really got that's worth anything now. Well, this should surprise no one. Back in March 2014, amidst the chaos of the Maidan upheaval, Epstein wrote to Swiss banking executive Ariane de Rothschild that the US-supported coup in Ukraine would provide many opportunities. Opportunities for whom, exactly? Later correspondence shed some light. In May 2019, Epstein advised a redacted interlocutor, presumably a Ukrainian woman, to start following Ukrainian politics, including Zelensky, parliament, and corruption, implying that this would contribute to her future success. She answers, "Now it will be so interesting to watch the politics in Ukraine, all politics as a comedy." To which Epstein says, "Yes, it is funny, but sophisticated corruption. Huge amounts of money will be made. Huge. I would like to see you as a female oligarch." To sum it up, Ukraine was an important hub in the Epstein network, financially, politically, and as a source of human assets, women and girls potentially recruitable and exploitable. And there is no reason to assume it has ceased to be, considering that Epstein did not operate alone and his ring was not the only one. So I think it's quite clear that it's probably still going on and has connections to Ukraine complaining about these children that have gone missing. What did they want these children for, considering that these children have been reunited with their Russian parents? Matt, what are your final thoughts on this today?
Yep, this is part of the reason that Epstein was murdered, and that doesn't surprise anybody either. It's hard for normal people to wrap their brain around this kind of thing, but there's so much money in this, and we deal with the Talmudic mentality that the goyim are simply not human beings. It gets less difficult to understand. You know, just because you murder Epstein doesn't mean his network goes away. This is what the billionaire class does. And again, he said no reason to assume it ceased to be. He was not alone. This was a huge network. Just because you murder him doesn't mean anything. Again, you have mass resignations from Davos. No surprise there. We all know what that's about. There's almost an obsession here with the elite when you become part of that club to violate a young child in some way or another. It's been going on for a long time. It's the ultimate, you know, satanic, and this is a religious issue. This is why the Russian government, as I said, this is Satanism in the West. Violating children is the ultimate satanic method, so to speak. But you have the UN agreeing with this. You know, the Russians have no motive. Ukraine, which is really not an independent country, it's under the oligarchs of the West. They do what they're told. And now with and this organization, and we talked about in the beginning, that's just projection. They're well aware of what's happening and what their friends are doing, so they have to run interference, and that's really all that is.
Well, thank you for bringing our attention to this matter, Matt. Thank you for coming on today. Thank you, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.